Good evening and welcome. We're so glad you're here tonight. Would you stand? We'll sing the song that was just played. There's a call comes ringing. Let's send the light. There's a call comes ringing o'er the westless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore.
I appreciate the words of this final stanza. They remind us to not grow weary in the work of light. There will one day be a reward, and we look forward to that day. Sing it together on the fourth. Let us not grow weary.
Let us not grow weary in the work of light. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown of light. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore.
Well, good evening, everybody. The final night of our conference is tonight, of course, and I'm looking forward to what we have tonight. It's been in so many ways, such a delightful time, a God-honoring time, challenging, and I'm so grateful for the missionary families that the Lord brought to share these days with us. It's a delight to be part of it. Well, Sunday, I want to remind you that Sunday is, for us, our Faith Promise Commitment Sunday. I hope you're already and have been praying and asking God, God, how do you want me to give? And how do you want us to grow in faith so that we can experience the growth of the grace of generosity and you working on our behalf and building our faith as we preach the gospel or we give and help others preach the gospel in the regions beyond. So Sunday morning is going to be a great day for us and a time of victory, and all of us have decisions to make about our belief in God and about we as believers asking God what he wants us to do. So I'm thrilled about it. And then I want to say thank you to our missions committee who made so much of all this happen. So I hope you're appreciative of it and the labors that they did on our behalf so that we could enjoy these days and honor the Lord in them and help us all. It's really wonderful. So thank you to all of our missions committee for your part in serving us all. Well, let's go to the Lord and ask for his hand upon our time tonight. Lord, you have been good to us. From the very outset, we talked about the spiritual battle that is taking place, and it is good in these days. You have given great liberty. Thank you for the way each of our missionary families have blessed us and invested in us, and we're grateful for it, Lord. We thank you that your Holy Spirit so freely is speaking to people, and it's wonderful. And we ask, oh God, that we would know the joy of yieldness to the Holy Spirit, your direction in every way. So we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to have these days set aside. And we realize anything that matters, anything that has eternal value is your work. And we believe that you are, because this is who you are. You work in us in the eternal dimensions So we pray, O God, and thank you for what you're doing to that end. And even tonight, Lord, especially as our missionary families share with us so that we'll know what is ahead for them, so that we will know how to pray and partner with them and take them to the throne of grace. We pray, God, for your spirit to give great liberty for them as well. And so we ask that all of this would be done, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
We'll sing once again our theme song for the conference, Across the Lands. Would you stand with me? We'll sing it together one more time tonight, Across the Lands.
You're the Word of God, the Father. Let the skies declare your glory, let the land and seas rejoice. You're the author of creation, you're the Lord of every man, and your cry of love rings out across the land. If you left the gaze of came to seek and save the lost, and exchange the joy of heaven for the anguish of a cross. With a prayer you fed the hungry, with a word you calmed the sea, yet how silently you suffered that the guilty may go free. You're the author of creation, you're the Lord of every man, and your cry of love rings out across the land. With a shout you rose victorious, wresting victory from the grave, and ascended into heaven, leaving captives in your way. Now you stand before your Father, interceding for your own. From each tribe and tongue and nation, you are leading sinners home. You're the author of creation, you're the Lord of every man, and your cry of love rings out across the land.
Thank you. You may be seated.
All right. Good evening, everybody. How you doing? You ready to go? All right. Are you out there? Okay. I know. Here we go. So we are final night of our conference, and this is our final weigh-in. We're going to see what happens. Now, let's get a recap of where we stand. All right. Where are we? I think who won that first night? I think Georgia came out on top the first night, and then two nights in a row, Tennessee just came right in there. All right, so we're sitting at Tennessee 2, Georgia 1. This is our final weigh-in. Let's see what happens tonight. Are we ready, fellas? On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Oh! That was a little aggressive.
Now, it's 2-2. Jason asked me, okay, what happens if it ends up 2-2? How many of you just can't end in a tie? Who can't end in a tie? All right, Sunday night, we're going to do a final weigh-in on Sunday night to see who's going to win, Georgia or Tennessee. So
okay.
Sunday night, we'll have it all ready to go, and let's see what happens.
Let's do it. All right, thank you. Remember, we'll have the bank open again for you on Sunday. Be ready.
I love it when important games go into overtime. It's always great. Some people like it more than others. But the next two songs we're going to sing are really a prayer of consecration, of dedication, of expressing our willingness to do what God wants us to do. The first song we'll sing is a song that I hope you can truly say, number 444, I'll go where you want me to go, mountains height, stormy sea. It may not be those places, But wherever God calls me, am I willing to go there? We'll sing number 444, I'll go where you want me to go.
It may not be on the mountain's height or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front. My Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice he calls to pass that I do not know, I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be who you want me to be.
Now, the second stanza reminds us that even if you don't go across the sea, even if you don't go to the battle's front, there's an opportunity for each of us right where we are. Maybe there's loving words that Jesus would have me to say. Maybe there's someone who needs to be pulled back, someone who needs to be challenged, some wanderer that I should seek. And so if God will be with us, we'll be willing to go all the way. Sing it together in the second stanza, perhaps today.
Perhaps today there are loving words that Jesus would have me speak. There may be now in the paths of sin some wanderer whom I should seek. Oh, Savior, if thou wilt be my guide, though rugged and dark the way, my voice shall echo the message sweet. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. You want me to say, dear Lord, I'll be what you want me to be.
Maybe tonight to you that sounds a little costly, to go wherever, to go after whomever, to say whatever, to be. Why would we want to do that? And our next song gives us the reason that we are constrained, we are motivated, we are indeed feel that it's necessary to do all of this because of what Christ has done. The chorus says, constrained by Christ's sacrifice, without holding back, I offer him my life. Would you stand as we sing tonight, constrained by Christ?
The man of sorrows died in agony, struck once by God for my iniquity. He satisfied the Father's holy wrath and drank the bitter cup in my behalf. Constrained by Christ's atoning sacrifice, without reserve, I offer him my life. Redeeming love compels me to proclaim the all-surpassing glory of his name. For him I count my life no longer mine. In his great work, a higher call I find. Lose myself and find my all in Christ. I follow on and gladly pay the price. Constrained by Christ. atoning sacrifice. Without reserve, I offer him my life. Redeeming love compels me to proclaim the all-surpassing glory of his name.
Thank you. You may be seated.
This time we're going to have our missionary families come. If you all will come on up, men and ladies, I don't know if men, if you have the ladies sharing time, but men, come on at least. And if you have the ladies sharing with you, that's great too. So come on up. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to have, this is a next challenge, or the next challenge testimonies is what they're called. And this is where you really need, you need to get something. If you make notes on your phone, pick up your phone. Now, don't check your Facebook. That's another subject. Now, Instagram's okay, but Facebook may, well, but if you keep notes on your phone, pull out your phone so you can make notes. If you write notes down, write things down, because they're going to share with you, in part, they're going to share with you what that next challenge is and what they would like you to pray for. And I think that's very significant, so you can become a prayer partner with them right away. So we're going to have each of these folks share that next challenge. So let's start with this. Let's start with Brother Sanderlin. I'm going to have the Sanderlins go first. And then after that, we'll have Brother Wilson and then Brother Henson. All right, sir.
Well, it has been a joy to be here. And I've appreciated the format of everything. And when I was looking at the notes for this particular time, I think the way it was stated is, what made you willing, and what are your current burdens, and then how can we pray for you? And that was a pretty heavy question, what made you willing? There have been a lot of factors in our lives, but I would just say, as a trust, try to keep it concise that way. As a teenager, hearing good, solid preaching, but then realizing that I wasn't living up to what I believed and what I said I believed, and starting to realize that the Christian life isn't automatic or easy, and that I wasn't actually doing it, and then having to come face to face with what the Bible said, and then my performance, and then just learning. I can remember a specific event when I was around 16 years old, being really challenged to be honest with what the Bible teaches about my own sin issues. And that was a very hard decision for me, because I was in church all the time. My dad was a deacon and we were always there, but there were some significant issues that I was living contrary to the Word of God in private, and behind my parents' back, with school and other things. And I remember having to come to the point where I was willing to just be honest, and if I was going to believe this, that I needed to do what the Bible said. And I remember approaching that event with a lot of fear. But I had been convinced that the Bible was true, where it also said that when you take God at his word, he forgives and he restores. And I remember telling my parents, sitting them down, talking to them about a lot of cheating that was going on in my sophomore year that year. It was toward the end, convinced that my life was going to be over. And instead, I experienced the grace of God. And they forgive me. There was a lot of repair work that had to be done and consequences, those kinds of things. But instead of my life being over, I experienced life. And later that next summer, a youth evangelistic team came into our church, and I went out with them. I did not like going out on visitation, that kind of stuff. I would go to the hospital. I had done a lot of those kinds of things with my pastor. But I remember going to a young man at the mall. I was going to obey the Lord. I wanted to invite somebody. And I invited one young man that didn't look like he wanted to come. And I got kicked out immediately by the security guards. And that young man, though, came, and he trusted Christ and found out that he had come to the mall from his grandfather's funeral. And I remember realizing that it's not a game, that you can live your own life and cover things up and do what you want, or you can just follow the Lord step by step and actually do what the Bible says and experience what God can do. And my life has not been perfect, but that began to kind of shake me up and break me of my own just doing what I wanted to do. I realized God wants to do something. And if we're willing to live by faith in what the Word of God says, he'll use us. He'll let us be a part of it. And so that pattern kind of repeated itself as we prayed about the mission field. We were burdened about it, but we knew of a lot of the challenges on the field. We knew of different open doors. And as we were wrestling about all that, I was asking the Lord, when do we do this? God again sent a trial in my life, and this is another one of the things that I would say have made me willing, and that was he shut me down physically. The job that I had always done in the HVAC trade, I could not physically do it. Just prior to COVID, went through some significant respiratory health issues, and it shut me down in my job, and I thought my life was over. And what it was God doing, he was getting my attention, trying to get me to stop doing what I was good at doing and comfortable doing, and really making me desperate for what he wanted me to do. And I remember just coming back to him, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do this. So God takes the things that we think are our failures, and he often uses those to get our attention and make us willing to then, as I've said before in this conference, he's the God of all comfort. He knows how to deal with our sin issues. He knows how to deal with our sicknesses, and I won't go into all of it, but also take the death situations in our lives, and in our grief, comfort us, restore us, and then wake us up to the fact that we have a mission to do. And there's a lot of people out there that do not have what we have when it comes to a God who can heal and forgive and restore and comfort in your trials. So that's just a nutshell of some of the ways God made me willing for our family. And I'm going to let my wife supplement this in just a moment here, but our current burden, where we're at right now, we're kind of facing that cycle again, where we just kind of got used to deputation. We've been on it for about a year and a half, and now we're facing this situation where we knew it was coming, but it's getting closer, where we have to step into the ministry of Cameroon, and there's a lot of questions that we don't have answers to, or details that we don't see how they all fit together. And as a man, as a family, you like to be in charge of things. You like things to be, you like to be reliant on your knowledge of the circumstances, and you can't be. And really just going back to, this is what it says, I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to take the next step I'm supposed to take. And letting the Lord, and it's not that you're ignorant of the details of your next steps, but you really have to trust the Lord in those things and not let your questions rob you of your joy. So to complete it, the way that you could pray for us as we take these next steps, and really in the next 5 years, I want to hear whether we're on the mission field for 5 years, maybe the Lord comes back, maybe something happens to us, I don't know, but I want to be in a place in 5 years where I hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But more than that, I want to be at the place where I am still enjoying the Lord, not just so busy in ministry and in surviving that I've lost my joy. And I want my family to be enjoying the Lord and each other also. And so, and you pray for us, pray that God will bless the ministry there, but pray that in all the different circumstances, we are still loving the Lord and walking in his love for us, and not having lost sight of that in the many, many, many different changes that we're about to step into. And just pray for us that way, because there's a lot of different details that change, and it can unsettle you, but pray that we don't let anything get in between of a simple walk with the Lord and an enjoyment of him and an enjoyment of each other and what he's called us to do. So thank you very much for the opportunity. We do really appreciate your prayers. If you would pray for us that way, that's probably the single best way you could pray, because out of that really would probably flow everything else that we've got going on. So I'll let my wife add to that a little bit.
The two things that made me willing were the promise of his presence in the Great Commission, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. he just really convinced me personally that his presence is enough to feel safe. And his presence is enough to have joy and to have everything I need. Everything I need is in him, and if I have him, I'm good. And he taught me, I've learned that before, but he taught me that anew when faced with moving over to Cameroon. The second thing would be Romans 12, 1 and 2, where it says that this is your reasonable service. And God has had to change my thinking from I'm making a sacrifice to this is reasonable. This is normal. This is what I should be willing to do with my life. It's not this big event that I have surrendered to and now I'm a hero. It's this is reasonable. This is perfectly normal for a Christian to be willing to go take the gospel where it hasn't gone yet. And that's what I want to do with my life. When you pray for me specifically, if you could pray for, as we learn the French language, there's times where you just get very tired mentally of trying so hard and thinking so hard and stumbling so much and trying to make the sounds, and there's some days where you're just like, I don't want to do this anymore. Why do we have to do this? And you know that's wrong, but you just still kind of go through that. So you could pray in those moments that God will just give me a renewed excitement and interest in learning it and a willingness to continue on. The other thing, just mental, speaking of mentally, pray that I will think biblically, because that will affect how I live and that will affect how I interact with other people, how I keep my husband encouraged, what my kids see. So much of it is the wife. If she has joy and contentment in what she's doing, her kids will be okay. Her husband will be okay. When the wife is really struggling and is really down and is really under it, it's hard on the whole family. So just pray that I will stay, keep my mind on truth and keep my mind on that whole list in Philippians of thinking rightly. And like I said, just that I would have the joy of the Lord, and that as I raise our kids and I help them through different transitions, and you know, we're helping them together, just that we would have wisdom in helping them through the different things that come up as they grow up and as they adjust to things, that we would have God's mind, and that as parents we would have the grace to raise our kids in a way that they will come out triumphant, that they will come out to love what we've done as a family on the mission field, and that they would be interested in serving the Lord themselves as they grow up. Thank you.
I'll say this while we're here. When our kids come up to sing, they're singing a medley of Philip Bliss songs. They're not just singing every song in the hymn book, because it sounds like that. We've been asked, there's several different songs in that one special. So I'll say that while I'm up here.
I would like to begin by saying what a delight it has been to be here with you this week. There are more things to thank you for. You guys have just poured out your love on us, and there are so many things to thank you for, but above all of them, just the warm welcome you've given us, open hearts, loving hearts. It's been a delight to be here with you. We're supposed to talk about how we became willing to serve as missionaries. And I don't think my story is, I don't know, it's very simple. When I was a lost young person, I had not the slightest interest in the lost people or the mission field. It seemed like a ridiculous thing to be concerned about. But when I got saved, I understood that I was lost and on the way to hell. And I understood that I had no way to save myself, and the only way that I could do it was to turn to Christ, and that he had purchased me with his blood. And when I received him as Savior, I knew my life didn't belong to me anymore, it belonged to him. And so I think the starting place was, once I got saved, I didn't really feel like I had the right to direct my life any longer. I felt like it belonged to him. I had the privilege of being in a church that emphasized missions, as your church does. And missionaries would come. And if you know the scriptures and the road to Emmaus, how the guys were talking to Christ, but they didn't recognize him, and they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" Well, every time a missionary would come to our church, Rhonda and I, our hearts would just burn within us as we saw the field and we saw the lost world. And I don't remember a time in my Christian life when I didn't feel a passion for the lost. From the day I got saved, I knew I belonged to Christ, and I saw that need, and I mean, how can you not care? How can you not see that? How can that not grip your heart? And yet God didn't lead us that direction for many years. He led us in other paths, to other kinds of ministry, in church, in Christian schools, and in churches here in the U.S. But after we'd been in the ministry for a long time, we knew God was going to do something. We didn't know what. There was something stirring in our hearts, and we didn't know what it was. We thought maybe we should go to the mission field, and so we tried to get God to call us to Brazil. And he didn't do it. And we thought, well, you know, clearly we're just not worthy to serve as missionaries. We'll serve him in some other way here in the States. And we didn't understand what God was doing, because that was in 1990. In 1991, the Iron Curtain fell. February of 1992, I was sitting in church, about two-thirds of the way back, on that side, on the aisle, during Sunday school. And I was praying, and I was saying, God, what do you want me to do? And clear as day, God spoke to my heart, not in an audible voice, but there was a voice there that I knew wasn't me. And he said, I want you to go to the foreign field. And I knew in an instant that that's what God wanted. We had a funny moment because that happened just in the quietness of my heart in a moment of time. That afternoon, we got home from church, and I did that, like, how do you tell your wife that you're leaving the country? And I said, Rhonda, come sit with me. And she sat down, and I said, I have something important to tell you. And she said, okay. And I took a deep breath, and I said, so this morning during church, God spoke to my heart that he wants us to serve on the foreign field. And I look at her, and I see tears begin to course down her face. And I was like, that ain't good. And I said, why are you crying? And she said, because this morning during church, God spoke to my heart and told me that we're supposed to serve on the foreign field. And we knew that God had called us, and we went, and there was never any doubt. It was just obvious. We're supposed to talk about what is before us, what challenges are before us. Now, some of you are looking at me and saying, you know, he doesn't have any time ahead of him anyway. He's pretty much got one foot in the grave already. And I'll dispute that. I still have plenty of energy left, and God's blessed me with good health, and I plan to run a lot more laps before I'm done with this race. There are 8 million Jewish people in the United States of America. Nearly half of all the Jews in the world live here. Now, these are God's chosen people, okay? They are beloved by God. They're the ones through whom we got the scriptures. They were the ones through whom Messiah came. And they're perishing in darkness, not knowing the gospel. And that's a great tragedy. We've got to do something about that. Sometimes I read Romans 1:16 where it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I say, God says we should take the gospel to the Jew first. And sometimes people are like, well, why are they so special? Why do they get to be first? And some people resent Romans 1:16. Let me tell you why you shouldn't resent Romans 1:16. Because Romans 2:9 is talking not about God's the gospel, but he's talking about judgment. And he says this, he says, but unto those that do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. You see, the gospel is to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But God's fiery judgment is also to the Jew first and also to the Greek. These people desperately need the gospel. And the truth of the matter is we're not getting the job done. I'd like to tell you that IBJAM's got this and we got it covered. We don't remotely have it covered. There's an enormous need. Without going into details, because I don't have the time to do that, I'm convinced with all my heart that there is only one way that we will ever get the gospel of the 8 million Jewish people in America. I don't think I think there's one way. And that way is to mobilize the church so that Christians like you in Bible-believing churches all across America will each go out and find a Jewish soul, love them, pray for them, sow the seed of God in their life, and stay on the job, continuing to do that until they come to Christ. It's missionaries aren't going to do the job. It's local churches that are going to do the job. Or the job's not going to get done, and those people will perish. And so I'm the director of global outreach at IBJM. That means I lead a way too small group of men whose job it is to fan out across the country. And what we're trying to accomplish is to mobilize a movement. Not start a big program, to mobilize a movement of Christians all over the country saying, I'll go find a Jewish soul and I will love him to Jesus. And we want to get everybody in every church in America to say, I'll go find one and I'll share Christ with him till he gets saved. And that's what we're trying to accomplish. And so when we talk about prayer requests, my first prayer request is that you would pray that God would bless us, that he would open doors before us, that we would be able to have fruitful ministry in churches everywhere across America, but especially in those places where there are great numbers of Jewish people. There are 10 cities in America that have 100,000 or more Jewish people. I want to explain why two. I need at least two men in each of those 10 cities. Two families in each of those 10 cities. That means I need 20 families. Okay, you say, will that get the job done? Not remotely. But it'd be a really good start. Two families in those 10 cities. Now, that leads me to the second thing. Number one is, please pray for myself and the other men as we go across America working with churches, trying to mobilize them to reach the Jewish people. But the second thing is, I said we have a way too small team. Don't ask me for details. I'd be embarrassed. It's way too small. The second prayer request is this, and the second challenge that's before me is, folks, we have to raise up a new generation of missionaries. God is calling men and women to serve as missionaries. But in our culture today, we're not hearing that call. And the fields are white unto harvest, and the crop is perishing. And so God has just so burdened my heart to work with young people, and can I say not just young people. Rhonda and I were 36 and 41 when we went to the mission field. So if you're in your 20s and your 30s and your 40s, yeah, you too. God is calling people to the mission field, and I am so burdened to work with those people on whose hearts God is knocking, to try to say, look, God can use someone like you. If you're willing, please go. So I mentioned I need 20 families. I've got five of them. Nope. It's not a done deal, but I think today we just filled the sixth hole. Today something happened at IBJM, and I think we've got number six. I need 14 families. Okay? You know how Simeon did the, Lord, don't let me die before I see the Christ? My thing is, God, don't let me die before I see two families in each of these 10 cities. God, give me that. And so I'm praying that God would send us 14 families that would go and take the gospel to the Jewish people. And so what's the challenge before me? Mobilizing churches and seeing young people called out. What are my prayer requests? For God's blessing as we work with the churches, and pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And ask the Lord, Father, would you use me?
Good evening. Let me reaffirm my thanks for all that your church has done this week especially, but in general, you've been very good to our family. And I believe, I'm not entirely sure who's in charge of this, but your church has never like missed a missions check or anything like that. You've always supported our family, and I thank you, even for the slowness of our family raising support, me raising support all the time in Georgia. So let me say thank you for all that you have done. Toward willingness, toward missions, my first thought about that is that willingness is not something that I have arrived at. And that willingness to follow the will of the Lord and the ways of the Lord is an ongoing process of submission to Jesus Christ. And if you are in church or if you read the scripture, you're going to be very much in the same situation that I am in. And that is, our problem is not that we don't know the truth. The problem is that we hesitate to apply that truth to our lives. And that's very much myself. And so there's many verses that we could look at. But instead of turning, I will just speak of them, and you probably know of them. But when you read in the Word of God, there's three primary people that talk about how the Lord worked on their heart and their eagerness or their willingness to submit their days to Jesus Christ, or to God in the Old Testament, as Christ was yet a mystery in the scripture, known but yet a mystery. And the first one is Isaiah, perhaps one of the well-known verses of scripture. I can very much attest to this. He sees God. He sees the holiness of God. And when he is exposed to the presence of God, he is willing to go. He says, "Lord, here am I, send me." You think of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, he's been given commission from the Lord, a very hard commission. And you think of the life of Jeremiah, you read the book of Jeremiah, you think perhaps he had two people that listened to his message that we know of. What did he say? He said he purposed to keep silent, but the word of God was as a fire in his bones and could not be silent. You see, knowing God, being confronted with the person of God, the word of God. And then you read in the New Testament, as we sang tonight, of being constrained by Christ, is what Paul said. And what I'd like to communicate is, if you, have this ongoing growth that needs to happen in willingness toward missions, toward choosing God's ways over the desires of the flesh, over the ways of the world, go seek knowing God, seeing who he is, the word of God, and asking God to know him just close enough so that he can change your heart and give you the desires to be willing to submit to him. That can be hard, but we need God's help to do it. And that was toward missions. That's toward temptations. That's toward laziness of my heart. I need the power, the presence, the closeness to God to give me the heart, the willingness to do his will. As far as looking ahead, I know we hit on this some, but we'll go back to Georgia. I sometimes feel that when I talk to Georgia and I try and be a little bit transparent about coming back and talking to Georgia, I don't want to scare people away from possible future ministry of God. But let me tell you some positives about, Georgian people. And in a place that God puts us in this world, outside of the presence of Christ, if that was not enough, there is much to rejoice in. Georgian people, if you showed up there today in the country of Georgia, for the most part, they are going to go out of their way to be patient with you and welcoming to you and to feed you. When I quickly found out that one of the main aspects of Georgian culture and of even having friends in the country of Georgia is you've got to go feast with them. And they'll invite you to a feast, and they're all going to sit down, and they'll eat for a few hours straight, like 2-3 hours. And if you're used to, like I was in America, well, you eat in 20 minutes, and you're done. You're going to be like a stuffed sausage, coming to Georgia, because not only will they feed you, they'll, keep filling up your plate. And so you got to pace yourself. And then when you think it's all done, they bring out another dish, and it's like, how can they possibly have another dish back in that kitchen? They've already had, 20 of them. So if you are a person, you love to eat, you love to talk and hang out around the table, and that's, great entertainment for you. You like to stay up late, and you're a night owl. I mean, you would love Georgians. They would stay up till 1, 2, even 3 in the morning, and this is great fun, and we'll sleep in, and we don't have to go to school till 9 in the morning or something like that. None of the 7 o'clock stuff like Americans do. So there is a people there that we'll go back to. Yes, there are differences from Americans. And some of those differences, mainly because it's easy for me to get stuck in a cultural rut and what I like, what I'm familiar with, that in many ways, they're just people with a different culture, a different approach to life, a different thought process. But they, of course, need Jesus Christ. We go back, I'm not going to seek to go back and semi-pastor a church that's existing. We're asking the Lord to use us toward starting a new church with those people. It'll be different. It'll be different mainly because you can't have a friend in Georgia unless you'll go feast with them, unless you'll invite them to your house and feed them and enjoy the time with them. But pray about that. There's going to be some challenges that I foresee. The biggest one, honestly, is still language. Do you know a foreigner that you have spoken to, perhaps you know in your life now? And when they talk to you, they're really slow in talking. And maybe they have a little bit of an accent. Maybe they get their grammar wrong. Well, that's exactly where I am. It's not, that You know, I can go in and exactly wow them with like, oh, a perfectly said statement that they're going to say, wow, that was profound. Probably 1% of what I say in Georgian they're going to think of as profound. So pray for the continuing growth in the language. We can communicate. We're conversational. Preach, teach. We can do that. Pray for that. Another challenge is there are Baptist Union people in that country, and I'm not thinking they're an enemy or to be condemned, but they will bring a lot of baggage, and I know that they will not leave me alone. So you pray for grace to work with them, wisdom with how to work with them, to go off to start a new church, and they're kind of like chase you down because they've got all these envisions and, oh, the Americans got a building. Are the Americans renting a building? Let's go make it ours. And so you pray about that. You want people that will be faithful to the word of God, and that'll bring me to another prayer request. There are a lot of ladies in Georgia, relatively speaking, a lot of ladies that are open to the scripture, even tenderhearted to the Lord, but few men. And the men that are very much are very set in their ways. So it's very difficult to talk to a Georgian believer in Christ and help them to realize that they've got a lot of things that they don't get from the Bible, but they're not willing to give them up. And when you have someone like that that is very persistent, that they want to be part of whatever ministry you do, it is difficult to work with them. Help them to grow, but just with grace to help to work with them. And so please pray about that. And I don't know entirely how it will look like, but I know we intend to rent a place, begin meeting. I believe that there are various things that can be tried, at least shortly, of how to connect with those people. But I would definitely say that we need God's blessing more than anything else. God to open their hearts toward to listen to what a foreigner has to say, American has to say, a non-Georgian, a non-Eastern Orthodox. And if the Lord will be in it, and if he'll move, everything can be done. You read in the pages of the New Testament the potential of God's people. And they had such great potential to interact with their culture, to change their culture, because they were biblical people. They were Christ-like people. They were in accord in mind and heart and deed, at least those we read of, with the Holy Spirit of God. Pray for that. Pray for that for me, for my family, that we could be in accord with the Holy Spirit and what he would like to do among those people. So thank you.
the proclamation of a revenge. Tis the lucky Father calls a wanderer home. Whosoever will may come.
Well, thank you so much, children and mom, very much. We're very grateful. Well, how many of you feel like our missionaries already preached a sermon tonight? Each one of them. How many feel? How many think you've had enough preaching already for tonight? Yes, thank you very much. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll tell you, this has been, I think, so the Lord has, I know, spoken to me. And I know he's spoken to you as well in these days. I think of some of the things that God spoke to me about. I want to share these with you as I took notes in everything that I was involved in. And God was speaking to me. Sunday morning when Brother Henson preached on prayer and the word, he took us to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And it was really as the prayer request. And it was the priority of prayer in the word. And the priority of the, really the continued priority of the proclamation of the word. Pray that the Lord, word of the Lord would have free course. And then he reminded us of the continued prayer for the word so that the word would go unhindered. And he reminded us that the term free course is a description of a race. And so as you're running that race, that the runner doesn't have any encumbrances that would cause him to stumble. And he told the story in 8:15, you missed it. But at 10:30, he told the story about running. And Lim had fallen. We were running early in the morning and Lim had fallen. And it's dark. You can't, and he fell. And he got in the way. And to pray that there would be, as the word is proclaimed continually and not giving up on the proclamation of the word, but pray that the Holy Spirit of God would so open hearts that the hindrances would not be in the way. What are the hindrances? Well, we're told in that passage, verse 2, for they're unreasonable and evil men. You know, there, and we learned this week from each of these individuals, each of our missionary families, about the cultures in which they're ministering and how different they are from our culture. And every culture has hindrances as well as open doors. And so there are always going to be enemies and adversaries. And then in verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, he uses another one of the adversaries. He tells us about evil. And the reality is that each of us has an evil heart. And everywhere that our missionaries are going and everywhere that you go, you have people you work with, people you live with, people you go to church with, people you're related to that have evil hearts. And our own evil hearts get in the way of the word of God doing his work in our lives. And it was so challenging to me to remember as people, and listen, church, you are people that I believe this about you. I believe so many things about you, but I believe this about you, that generally you are people that love the Bible and love the truth. And in our commitment, all of us, to proclaim the truth and live the truth and stand for the truth, let's remember to pray that the word of the Lord would have free course. So there's prayer in the word. And I'm so glad there's something else that Brother Michael said that so spoke to me. And it is this: when there are adversaries around you and there's evil within you, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3 says this, but God is faithful. And a number of the testimonies this week just promoted and reminded me again that God is faithful. So as we pray with these missionaries and we together, even in our part of the world, proclaim the word and we work with the people in our lives, aren't you glad that we can believe that God is a faithful God? It keeps you going. Well, there's a prayer in the word. And Sunday night, I was so impressed with the passion for the lost. Do you remember how Brother Wilson showed us how to break down barriers to Jewish people? You remember that? And you know, and how many of you, when he described this, when you meet a Jewish person, oftentimes you'll meet, we meet Jewish people, we don't realize they're Jewish. It's not like they wear a shirt that says, "Hello, I'm Jewish." But when you meet a Jewish person and you talk to them about Christ, you invite them, and you're a little intimidated, you don't know what to say. And how many of you know what I mean when you're just sort of, "Oh, okay, I'm sorry," and you leave them alone, they're Jewish. I had no idea. It was new to me. That what they're thinking is they already had suspicions and they don't like me and they don't at all. And when you, like I do, when I'm sort of afraid of that and I just sort of back off, it confirms their suspicions. And I was so glad that he helped me because when he said, "Hey, that's wonderful, you're Jewish, I love Jewish people." And it just throws them off. And we do. If it weren't for the Jewish people, would we have the record of the scriptures of the Old Testament? Our Messiah is Jewish. Even our Bible, the New Covenant scriptures, they're Jewish. Authors are Jewish. The cultural context is rooted in Jewish history and life. And this was wonderful. We love Jewish people. And I was so excited. I'm ready to go find a Jewish person. You know, because now I feel a whole lot more comfortable. You know, don't feel like I need to go and say, "Well, let me take you from the book of Genesis all the way through Zechariah and share with you the entire plan of God. And then we'll go to Romans 9, 10, and 11 and really dissect those scriptures." No. Let's start with. And so he really challenged us. And even from Romans chapter 10, the apostle to the Gentiles, his calling was to Gentile people, but he never lost a heart for his own people, his kinsmen. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And really, I was so challenged about my own, as a disciple of Jesus, my own witness for Christ. And hey, Brother Wilson just mentioned it tonight, didn't he? Those four things to do. Meet a Jewish person. It wasn't on my goal list for the year, but I wrote it on my goal list. Meet a Jewish person. So that means I have, we're in February. Let's just forget February. Let's go through March. We have just a few, you know, so December 31 to meet a Jewish person. 1,400 Jewish people in our city. So if each of us met one, at least, hey, that's good, right? So we're going to meet a Jewish person. We're going to love on that Jewish person. I wrote this down, we're going to pray for that person. And then we're going to stay with that person. So that's isn't that wonderful? And it's not just Jewish people. How about if all of us, maybe we take one Jew and one Gentile. Maybe God will give us a Jew and a Gentile. Meet that person, love that person, pray for that person, stay with that person. And I used to have a number of Jewish people that I knew, but they've either died or lost contact. I need to get another one. And that's one of the things for me this year. I was so grateful, a passion for the lost. Then, building on that passion for lost, Brother Sanderlin challenged us with beautifully from that account of the demoniac of Gadara. And you remember Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and he meets this man, and the man was unstoppable and unhelpable. Do you remember that? And Jesus changed his life. And then Jesus and the disciples get in the boat. And they're ready to leave and get in the boat. And this man who was so changed said, "Lord, I want to go with you." Mark chapter 5, verse 18. "Lord, I want to be with you and the guys. I want to be there with you." And Jesus said, "No, go home and tell thy friends what great things the Lord hath done for thee." And he reminded us of the power of our testimony. And he reminded us that there's a passion for the Lord, the great things that God hath done for thee. If you've been saved a long time, it's easy to forget the great things that God hath done for thee. It's really easy to forget. And can I ask this question? Can I ask you? Do you really have a story, a testimony? Is it that you have experienced the saving power of Christ? Has he saved you really? You say, but I go to church. And if you come on Wednesday night, you go to church pretty regularly. Right? How many of you? Well, you know you go to church pretty regularly. Whatever it is, you say, why? But I'm wondering, are you really saved? Brother Sanderlin asked this question. He said, who is responsible? Because he said, how do we get this job done? And who's responsible? And you know what his answer was? Do you remember his answer? All of us. All of us, wherever God sends us, all of us play a part in the Great Commission. And then there's something else that really struck me and spoke to me that that has come up in the services that we've had. It came up in the men's meeting last night. And I was listening to the ladies' meeting. I got a report from my wife on the ladies' meeting on this as well. It came up when we had our missions forum on Tuesday. In all the conversations, it seems, many of these conversations and all these forums where people are, the testimonies, people are sharing in different ways. And it came up again and again and again, and it struck me when I went through the notes of everything that I had just jotted down and all, it struck me that this keeps coming up again and again, and it is yieldedness to the Lord. Okay, Lord, your will is best. You're a God that's good. And in spite of heartaches and in spite of battles in life, our missionary families, it seems to me, from their testimonies, have repeatedly, very wisely yielded to the Lord. Now, if you yield to the Lord, that doesn't mean you're going to go to Cameroon. It doesn't mean you're not going to go to Cameroon. But it seems to me, in conversations and all that we've shared with them, it seems to me that for each one of them, there's a pattern of life of yieldedness to the Lord. And in that yieldedness, those decision points that each one had to make a decision, am I going to yield to the Lord or am I going to hold on and do things my way? That each one of them wisely and consistently is yielded to the Lord. And through this, then the Lord leads. And through this, the Lord has proven himself faithful. And the Lord has taken them every step to where they are now. And I'm confident of this, that in God's grace and in their each of their willingness to submit to the Lord, that God will prove himself faithful and continue to lead them. And I'm confident of this, not just for them. I'm confident of this for you. That if you are willing, when you come to those decision points of life, if you are willing to yield to the Lord, that the faithful God will not forsake you, but the faithful God will lead you and transform your life and manifest himself to you. And when your life's journey is done, that you will look back and you will live grateful. You'll be grateful to have given yourself to the Lord. And so tonight, before we give gifts to our missionaries and pray the hand of the Lord upon them, I want us to stand together and I want us to sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. I'll give the instrumentalist a moment to get up to the keyboards. I want us to make this our prayer to the Lord. Stand with me, please, if you would. Make this our prayer to the Lord. And this altar is available for you to seek the Lord together. And so I want this to be our prayer. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Here we go, let's sing it. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence. Let's sing that next verse as our last. That next is our last. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me. Savior divine. Well, thank you. Be seated, except for our missionary families. All of our families and kids, come on up here. We have some gifts we want to give you. And so come on up. Stand up here. We'll take care of you tonight. Well, I want to... Yep, come on up here. And yep, very good. You're great. You're doing great. Well, of course, church family, all the fun with Missions Moolah, it is great fun. I'm so glad George is going to win. I'm so confident in that. no, whoever, we all win, right? So, all of the fun of it we enjoy, but it all is really our love gifts to our missionaries and from the graciousness and the grace of God in you and your willingness to give, then we're able to bless these missionaries. And I'm very grateful for you and for your heart for them. And the grace of God and generosity at work in your life as well. So we've given them already a number of things, some tickets to local or money for local attractions and stamps and some money just to have or on hand, and then gift baskets. We gave those things already, and then we have some other things to give them tonight. So let's see here. Let's give for all you kids. Let's see here. All right, would you guys like we have a gift card for you. Is that okay? All right, that's for you to spend. All right, now let's see. We lost.
He's sleeping.
Well, you know, if he's sleeping, you know what that means. You boys get to fight over who's going to have that. No. You're going to give it to him? Okay, that's good. So I'm going to give this to your dad and let him. I'm going to trust him that he's going to make sure that that the other two get something, okay? There you go, buddy. There you go. Every Lily in this room is a wonderful person. Did you know that? I didn't mean to skip you. You're welcome. It's our pleasure. And then we have for the moms and dads and Brother Michael, make sure that you don't take the kids' things too. I'm counting on you for that. Boys, make sure that your dad doesn't take the, you know what I mean? Okay. So we're going to give, this is for you, Michael and Barbara. And then I'm going to give that to you and then your family. These are for your family as well. So these are Cracker Barrel. You can always use some Cracker Barrel, right? There you go. All right, there's plenty of those around. So there you go, Brother Chris and Laura. And this is for you. And all right, hold him accountable, Brother Frampton. This gets to his wife. Miss Rhonda couldn't be with us, so there you go. Oh, and then for you all, as you're traveling, and for you as you're traveling, there you go. Oh, and then we have one other thing. We have love offerings to give to you all. And again, thank you for sharing with us. There you go. Okay. Well, it is a blessing to pray. Wait. It is. I don't know why it's so funny, but it is a blessing to pray. And when you think of the requests, I might have said something else. I don't know. Maybe did I say it? Doesn't matter. When you think of the requests that our missionaries asked to pray for, these are things that are God-sized, aren't they? And isn't it great that our God is a God that does God-sized things? And he is not bound. And may, as we pray for them, we want to pray that God would truly give them his supernatural enabling power. So why don't you do this? Why don't you stand? I'm going to pray, and then Pastor Alexander is going to close our service. And missionary families, when we sing, if you'll make your way to the back to your tables and people can fellowship with you there. All right, let's pray together. Well, Lord, when we think about these things that our missionaries asked us to pray about, the Sanderlands, they have some decisions to make and so many details to be put together as they're getting closer and closer to that next step of language training and then ministry in Cameroon. And give them faith to believe and prove yourself that you bring all those details together. And thinking of the request for language learning, what a challenge. And Brother Henson asked as well that they would continue in learning the Georgian language. So we pray, Lord, for help in this. We pray, Lord, there are 14 family units needed for these 10 cities. And we ask that you would raise them up. And then as we pray with Brother Wilson for that next generation. And it is a concern for all of us that love you. And so, Lord, we ask for you to do a gracious and powerful work. And then as the Hinsons go back, we are praying as they begin this new church, Lord, and with the opportunities and the wisdom that they need. And in all of it, we pray you would help and prove yourself to them. And so it is with gratitude that we pray. It is with expectation that we pray that indeed you're a God that hears and answers prayers. And so we ask this to be done, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Alexander?
All right, we'll close our conference and you'll be dismissed as we sing one more time the cause of Christ.
For this cause I live, for this cause.